How can I keep my soul, my mind intact, my mind in the right place? By waiting on the Lord. In patience, I possess my soul. Other people don't possess it. I don't allow just anything to happen in my life because I'm going to wait on the Lord.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's go into a recent Wednesday night Bible study with Pastor Rogers. This is The Secret to Waiting on God. Let's go into the message today.
He went home, told his wife, your Bible says she laughed out loud. You should read your Bible. It's in there. And guess what? I just want to let you know, when you laugh either out loud, under your breath, or in the dark, behind the door, God always hears that laugh. So you know what he said? You know what? You laugh, but you're going to take another lap, Sarah, but I'm telling you, I've already spoken it, and it will come to pass. You're going to have a child about this time. And what happened? Abraham, he's walking with Sarah one day, and the promise had not yet come. There's consequences when you step outside of the will of God. Baby hadn't come. Both of them heard the promise. And Sarah comes up with this brilliant idea. Abe, I got this little servant girl named Hagar. And you know, I'm like 85 years old. And Hagar told me the other day that she needs like her steps fixed. So, Abe, it'll be all right if you go over to Hagar's house tonight and fix her steps. Well, okay, Abraham says, and off he goes with his toolbox. Now, I'm going to just tell you, I don't know any women. In the Bible, it said this. Y'all laughing at me like I'm making this up, but this is all up in the Bible. But I don't know any women like this right now. I don't know none. Not one woman who's ever. I know that one right there said, I don't know how it all happened. But I'm just telling you, a few months later, whoop, there comes Ishmael. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Which leads me to number two before I dig a bigger hole. The consequences of not waiting on the Lord is that we actually delay the blessing that he wanted to give us. So here's Ishmael. He pops out. And now Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and Abraham. Abraham's over there. Bible says he's teaching him how to use a bow and arrow, the whole bit. I mean, he's our son. Oh, something's missing. I married this joker. Something ain't right. I told the preacher, don't worry, Pastor. I'm going to get him in church. How many times have I heard that? Don't you worry, I'll marry. I know he's a rotten rascal right now, but I'm going to tell you, as soon as we get married, he promised me he's coming to church. Uh-huh. You're still waiting on him. Don't you settle for anything less than God's best. Wait upon the Lord. So he delayed the blessings of God. Are y'all still with me here? He got Ishmael, but he canceled out for a period of time, had to wait, and things got nasty. Because when we inflict pain and suffering upon ourselves, it is part of our own decisions and the consequences of our decisions made. To try to adjust or call it God's will at that point only causes more problems. Are you hearing me? So here is Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Ishmael. And it took Sarah hearing from God to get Ishmael along. Hey, here we go. You got Ishmael, and then, boop, here comes the promise. Here comes Isaac. Now I got Ishmael, and I got Isaac in the same house. I got my mistake and my miracle in the same house. And what do I do with that? Because the boys started fighting, and they have not stopped fighting to this day. The seed of Ishmael is in that seed that's fighting against Isaac, the chosen promised son called Israel, to this day. Are you hearing me? Don't try to excuse it and say, oh, you know, this was God's will. I don't know what happened. Stop, wait, before you dig more holes. Consult with God. And thank God, I'm going to just tell you, thank God for the mercy of God, huh? How many of you ever made some decisions that you look back on right now and you go, wow. Now, don't say nothing about me up here, all right? Because you look back over your, you go, I made this decision and that didn't work out so good. And then, and if you don't, if you're not careful, the devil will pile it up on you, and all this years of regret comes piling in. Thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God for somebody who can hear from God. Because in the middle of the night, God speaks to Sarah, and she has to come and say, hey, you got to put her out, and the boy. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a hard thing to do. When you've got to take what you did that was flesh and put it out, cut it off from your life. If you don't, you will not see the promise, and all that waiting will be tainted. Are you hearing me? Is this helping anybody here tonight? One of the consequences of that is that we will experience confusion. Why is this happening to me? Has God forgotten me? No, he's not forgotten you. You just, listen to me, you just have to own it. Can you own your own mistakes? If you can, that's a step toward maturity. Teach your children to own their mistakes. Teach your children, teach yourself to own your own mistakes. That is leading yourself. That is self-discipline. When you can look in the mirror, like David said, and say, it's me. Now, don't wallow in it. Repent, get up, and go on. The mercy and grace of God is bigger than what we could ever imagine. But don't try to excuse it, and don't try to allow it to live in the same house. Because here's what happens. If we're not careful, the consequences will be that our actions will cause others to suffer. The whole house was suffering because of that. Look at Jonah, out of the will of God and would not do what God told him to do. He gets on the boat and puts everybody's life in danger. It wasn't no wonder that all the crew got together and said, you're the problem? No problem. You're going over. Right? Our disobedience affects others around us directly and indirectly. You never sin by yourself. You never make decisions by yourself. Well, this is me. I don't care about nobody else. Well, you should. Because in the time we're in right now, your life could, you know, what your decisions you're making could affect and ripple to the third and fourth generation. They could be suffering with it into generations because of something that you did. Own it. Gather them all around and say, hey, I blew it, but we're going this way now. We're going to follow God. We're going to wait on God. Come on, somebody. I got in debt up to my eyeballs, and my credit cards are jacked up to the moon. But today, I'm cutting them up. We're going to live within our means. Oh, now. I knew I was going to plow until I hit something good. We don't know nothing about no living by our means, because there's so much coming at us and impulses and immediate buys and everything else that the next thing we know, we're all messed up, all up to the roof. And listen to me, Anybody can get there. So I'm not throwing off on anybody, but there comes a point where you got to say, I got to stop this because I'm just digging a hole for myself that it will be my children's children that will be paying me out. How many times have I had to put people in the grave that didn't have enough money to bury their own self? And don't wait on your kids. Grandkids. Come on, let's pray. Let's just pray right now. Let's just pray. You know, breaking your little 7-year-old's piggy bank so you can get enough money to bury yourself. Are you kidding me? I'm going to tell you what them rascal kids are going to do. They're just going to burn you and put you in a cardboard box and send you on down the river. Throw you out there in the Gulf of Mexico somewhere. That's what Daddy wanted. He loved the water. He just loved that water. I tell you what. So long, Daddy. Thanks for the truck. Number 6. I'm sorry. Supposed to be dignified preacher and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just kind of having a little fun here tonight. I'm telling you, I'm getting something out of this lesson. I don't know about you. Ask your neighbor, are you waiting on the Lord? Oh, yeah. Listen, it'll bring financial issues. Consequences of not waiting on the Lord, it's going to cost you more than what you think. Listen carefully. Write this scripture down. This powerful scripture, Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. This is what it says. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. So, if the blessings of the Lord are supposed to enrich my life and not bring me sorrow, then what is it that I bought or consumed or taken into myself or stretched myself financially for that's bringing me grief because I can't pay for it? Look at it. You love it. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I love this boat. I get it. I understand. But let me just tell you something. When you can take whatever it is and lay it on the altar and give it to God or to eBay, peace is going to come into your heart at that very moment. God, if you listen, the statement is that the greatest day in a man's life is when he gets a boat. The second greatest day in a man's life is when he sells it. I know that to be true. I had one. It was a great day when we got rid of it. Now I just rent one. I don't have to clean it. I don't have to fuel it. I don't have to oil it. I don't have to polish it. I just rent it. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Get this, I'm on my way. I'm almost done here. What happens when we wait on the Lord? Well, the first thing that happens is he shows us his goodness. Come on, say it. He shows us his goodness. I love this. This is from Lamentation now. This is the book of weeping. Chapter 3, verse 25, 26. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the Lord, for the salvation of the Lord. Look at this. God answers our prayers. Psalm 40 and verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, the psalmist said, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock and established my going. He's put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Look at that. God answers the prayers of those that wait on the Lord.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.